Males are born. Men are built. This is the Great Man Podcast, where we want you to build great men as you allow other men to build you. Join New York Times best-selling author Stephen Mansfield, along with seasoned leaders of men, Anthony Flemons and JT McCrow, as we bring a wide range of experience and expertise to help you become the great man you are designed to be. With you this week are Anthony Flemons and JT McCrow.
Gentlemen, let us begin. Hey, if you're new to the podcast, and we always know we have new listeners every week, look, it's simple, man. We're here to help you build yourself into a great man and that you help another man build himself. That's key, that we don't become so selfish and so inward that we only work on ourselves. We have to help other men build themselves, like I have Anthony. I have worked years building this man. And no, I'm kidding.
You got a couple of bricks in place, man. That's all you got so far.
Now we've built each other over the years, yeah. I would say.
You know, in the vein, man, of that, just before we get into this, man, I'm just thinking back over a recent text you sent. And you didn't just ask me. You asked me and a few other men the difference between maturing and self-improvement.
Yeah.
And you said that I just gave you some, you know, canned, flippant response that just didn't address it. So why don't you invite the guys in and tell them what I told you? And then let's get into that a little bit, because I think it's pertinent to the church hurt thing, like straight on.
Yeah. And I've really been thinking about this for quite a bit. Is there a difference in self-improvement, self-development, and maturing? And I think there is. And so I've been contemplating and thinking about it. And so I sent a group text to Anthony, Jonas, and Stephen, and just said, you know, do you think there's a difference? And of course, you know, Anthony was the first one to respond, because he didn't even think about it. Basically, he was like, there's no difference, you know. And of course, you know, Stephen wrote a dang chapter.
You texted at 8:21.
Yeah.
I contemplated it until 9:17.
Oh, well, thanks for thinking about it while you're at work doing other things.
And what I said in response to your question, you said something I've been thinking through. Is there a difference in self-growth and maturing?
Yeah.
And
what was your response? Go ahead and read your response.
I'm going to read it. And I'm going to tell you, honestly, man, until this time, I don't think I've ever contemplated that question, ever contemplated a difference or anything. But I simply said both contribute to each other. Yeah. While one's happening, the other is happening, because I don't have a point of reference for it, because I hadn't had a discussion on it. Now that we've had a discussion, okay. But when I answered that way, you felt like he's just saying something.
Of course. I mean, at least Jonas was like, well, I need to think about that, you know. Got back to me the next day.
Got back to you, or got back to the thread?
The thread. And then Stephen got back.
Yeah,
and
I think Stephen made quick work of that that explanation.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And then Stephen and I talked the next day on the phone for quite a bit about it. And here's the baseline of what I was meaning, or what I've been thinking, I should say, is, you know, self-improvement, self-growth has too much self in it for me. And just thinking about, you know, what areas can I self-improve and self-grow? And typically it's in areas that are my job or a skill set that I, you know, or working out, I think is self-improvement, self-growth. So those are all kind of tangible things that that we can look at and go, man, I've self-improved or self-grown in my job because I've climbed the corporate ladder. I've got promotions. I make more money. You know, that's evidence that I have improved myself in a skill set that benefits me. But when you think about maturity, that's more character. Like, how can I self-grow in character? Well, I actually mature in my character. And that means that as a boy, there are certain mindsets that we have because we're boys, and we don't have a frame of reference for anything outside of, my parents take care of everything. You know, I don't have a job. I mean, somehow, you know, man, those clothes are in my my dresser every week. I mean, there's food on the table every night, and there's, you know, somebody takes me to practice. I mean, all these things that are, we're so dependent upon our parents or an adult to do those things for us. So that's a, to me, that's a mindset. That's a boyish mindset, and there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah. But those things do feed each other, man. One can't have a meal without the other in my head, because let's say that maturing, we have this idea of maturing, and I like what Steven said. He said maturing is increasing toward the known benchmarks and strengths and character and skills and wisdom of a man.
Right.
You know, and...
Wait, can I ask a leading question?
Yeah, of course.
I need one more distinction. What's the difference between maturing and maturing?
What part of the country you're from?
Just had to.
That sounds a bit like a dig it towards is a dig. One oh, of
it,
us.
Yeah, it is. Okay. For sure.
So what do you say, Anthony?
Maturing.
What do I say?
Oh, you both are the maturing. T? Okay.
Yeah. Would you like?
You said maturing.
Would you like for us to say maturing?
No, you can say it however you want. I just wanted to know.
See, this is another example of this age gap.
The generational
divide.
And
these freaking words change over years and how you even pronounce
them. Look, go to the dictionary. Go to the dictionary. Put it in. Because there's a speaker there that you can hit.
I'm guessing it's going to be maturing.
Okay, hang on. I'll pull up the pronunciation on Google. Here you go. Here we go.
Mature.
Oh, mature. Man.
Okay, do it one more time, Jonas. Listen.
Not Google.
Listen.
Mature.
Mature.
That's Jonas. Jonas, stop mature. Making that voice.
Sorry, I had to just ask all that right. question. You guys say it however you want.
So should we say it maturing? Is that
not
right?
Sure. Maturing.
I've heard it both ways. So maturing. Say it however you
maturing.
Want.
Maturing, okay.
I just had to make fun of you real quick.
Well...
This is what I live with.
Well, I'm used to this because I'm from Texas and I mispronounce about 90% of every word that you could possibly say. So anyway, but on this vein, you know, that's one of the things that Steven said. It says increasing towards the known benchmark strengths, character, skills, and wisdom. And I think one of those is our response, man, to disagreements.
Yeah.
Like how we respond to things that we don't agree with. And we were sitting out, and you know, this keeps making me think more and more that maybe we need to record. We say we don't plan for these podcasts, and we don't.
Yeah.
But a lot of times, man, we spend 30 minutes, man, beforehand just sitting out chatting through and drinking some coffee and having a cigar or whatever we're doing. And we talk about these subjects, and man, maybe we need to record some of those and just make them available.
Yeah.
Because
I mean,
those kinds of conversations a lot of men never have.
Yeah. And it's something about the cigar. I'm just
That morning, good morning cigar.
So in that vein, and again, talking about church hurt, which I think is a bigger subject than one episode.
Sure.
For sure. Because it's, you know, it's a real thing, no doubt about it. But I do think that a lot of it is because we still have that boyish mindset and not a mindset of maturing.
Yeah.
And that, you know, it's kind of like I told you outside, it's like, we've kind of replaced the sandbox. Like, well, if I don't like what you're playing, I'll go play in another sandbox. You know, as a boy, that's what we do. We just, well, I'll go somewhere else. I'll take my toys and I'll go somewhere else. We just kind of replaced the sandbox with the church. And it's like, well, if I don't like what you're doing, if I don't look, I give money here and I have rights because I give money here and I should be, you know, well, I'm just going to go somewhere else. You know, it's kind of like that mindset and not staying in to at a place and maturing and with your mindset of going, you know what, this is not a perfect place. If it were perfect and I showed up, I just made it imperfect. So there's no perfect church. There's no perfect place to grow spiritually. It's just, this is what I have at the moment. And I should, a healthy mindset and a mature mindset is I can grow anywhere.
So that's good. And this is one of the focal points I'm going to say of being church hurt is something that you've invested in. So I take my hard-earned money and I know that it's a part of my walk to tithe and to give to my church. And then do I tithe and give without any expectation of those funds going towards things that I agree with or things that I feel like are on the road or vision towards Christ? Do I not have any kind of decision to make about how the church is spending my money, all these kinds of things. And, you know, I've never really been hung up on how and what. And,
yeah.
You know, I know that, God is going to do with the money what he needs to do with the money. But are those legitimate ideas, man, to say, man, I should have a say, and I don't like that the church is supporting this thing or that thing.
Yeah.
And if I don't like it, is it not okay for me to pull back and go find a place that agrees more so with the way I think? Or is that being immature as well?
Yes and yes. I think that when you have a mindset of this is my money and I'm giving to a church and I have this expectation that my money is going to do this, then your mindset is I'm giving to a church.
Yeah.
And really when it comes to really anything, Stephen said he was going to beat up on Christians. So again, we know we have a lot of Muslims listen. We have a lot of Jewish people, you know, agnostics, atheists, everybody kind of listens to this podcast. So we are going to talk a little bit to the Christian world, but when you have a mindset scripturally, it says that you should do everything as unto the Lord. So that means that I'm giving because I believe that scripturally I'm supposed to. And God's going to hold whoever deals with that money responsible for how they steward it. And so I got to trust that. Now, that's not saying that if I see something going on that's sketchy, right? Like you go to a church of 200 and the pastor's driving a Bentley and he doesn't have a job outside of the church. Okay, that may be a problem.
Well, maybe his brother gave it to him.
No, what I'm saying is, what I'm saying is that there's not a legit kind of, okay, you may go, okay, is my money going to that? You know, but again, there's stories behind each story. There's stories behind each thing that it's like, I know a pastor, and let me, just for the sake of clarity and transparency, I was on staff at a church for 13 years as a pastor. So I have a insight that a lot of people don't have of what goes on the business side of a church. And every church has a business side. It's just the way it is because you are trying to be a good steward of people's money. So you do have to kind of be businesslike in a sense.
Well, Pastor, while we're on this, I do have a problem with these big, giant, expensive luxury vehicles and trucks that you own. I just want to throw that out there to everybody.
Yeah, like
I said. Because right now you're driving like some $150,000 truck.
Well, like I said, I used to be a pastor at a church. Now I'm a builder. So it's legitimate. I'm back to building. Gotcha. No, but I know pastors that drive nice cars, live in nice, you know, multi-million dollar houses. And a lot of people don't know the background. Well, they have legitimate businesses before they ever were a pastor.
Investments and stuff.
Now, again, how they spend their money is how they spend their money. And they have to stand before God one day and accountable for their stewardship of what they got. But all I'm saying is that there's so much backstory to people's lives that we don't, when it comes to church, for some reason, we don't give them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
We just say, well, they must be taken from the church. They must be, you know, whatever. And again, I'm not saying that doesn't go on. It does go on. And I think that's a legitimate reason to question.
Yeah.
And if you go to a church, you have the right to go question. It's a nonprofit. Yeah. And you have every right to go ask and see how the money is being spent.
You know, and I'm just thinking, and we're going to get into this subject, man, but just these moments, man, when things happen at church, man, and it really turns us off and makes us start looking in other directions. But I'm just thinking, and this is going to raise some feathers for sure. But just think about Kanye, man, and, you know, his turn and beginning to praise God and have Sunday service and all these things and talking about God. And then I saw an interview with him recently where he was saying the reason why he stepped away from that. Have you seen that?
No, I have not.
So Kanye's in this interview and he says, you know, there were things that I went to God with and I prayed earnestly and God just left me out there, you know, and there's things that I needed and protection that I needed and I prayed and I still got hit with this. And so I'm going to have to look at other paths now to find out, you know, how to get what I need to get. And just sitting there listening, man, it did sound a little bit like, well, I asked you and I didn't get it. Well, that's exactly what he was saying. So now I'm going to go somewhere else.
I'm going to go play in another sandbox.
Right. So those kinds of things happen, man, and it is probably a large segment. So that's not necessarily with the leadership or with something in the church building, but it's with God as a whole. So maybe not only do we have the wrong expectations of our leaders, maybe we have the wrong expectation of the leader.
Yeah, of God. Yeah, and that boils down to, and again, I don't know the story, and there's, again, yeah. I just said there's backstories to everything, sure. And I'm not privy to. However, that statement would indicate that that's a very boyish way of thinking.
And he was a new Christian too, though.
Right. So, and it's like, okay, that takes me back to, again, I'll talk scripturally for a minute, the garden where Jesus was about to be crucified, and he says, take this cup from me. I mean, yeah. That's a legitimate, like, yeah, I don't want to do this, and I need you to do certain things so I don't go through this pain and this suffering. I mean, yeah. That's a legit request. But the next statement was, nevertheless, your will be done. A greater purpose has to supersede my wants. And what is that greater purpose? So when somebody like that says that, it's like, well, were you not willing to go through it to get on the other side and grow?
Yeah.
So you're just going to stay an adolescent in an adolescent mindset until you get some genie in a bottle that gives you whatever you want. And that's not who God is.
Or is it a call for stewardship? Mentorship, walking with somebody to explain who God is rather than just letting them go off on their own tangents. So it opens another opportunity for those around him that have matured to step in and
If he'll listen.
Yeah, how about this and how about that?
He just needs a spiritual spanking.
but
did I just say that? That's pretty funny right there.
So with this episode in mind, you know, the cancer of church hurt, Stephen had this idea that there's a few things like big segments of hurts that cause this chasm. And, you know, when I talk to people personally and, you know, and I talk about church, now I don't go to church. It always boils down to some relational thing that happened in church.
For sure.
And they were disappointed in this person. And Stephen says that the number one thing is we expect too much from church.
Yeah.
Man.
Remember, church. He says this, he told you to, you know, told everybody about the book he wrote.
Right.
In that book, he has a statement, and I think it's a good one, where he kind of defines what church is. And basically, church is a collection of people on a challenging journey.
Yeah.
Think about that as a mindset. If I walk into a church and I understand that every single person in here is on a challenging journey.
Coming from being wrecked to being perfected at some point.
Right. Coming from, as scripture would say, coming out of darkness and into light. That is a journey. That's not, salvation is instant, but the journey of salvation is a process.
Yeah.
And so now you have all these people, what's the famous quote? Be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a great battle.
Right.
And again, we can't walk into church and say, well, that person's got his act together. That person's got his act together. I'm the only one in here that doesn't have my act together. That's a wrong mindset. No, we all don't have our acts together. Even the pastor, even everybody, 100% of people on staff don't have their act together.
Because we walk into this church, in Stephen's words, expecting everyone to be noble and good.
Yeah.
But that span of kind of time from being wrecked or from darkness into light, there's a bunch of situations, man, that you have to work through and learn through and fail.
Yeah.
In a lot of instances to be able to see the result of behaving this way as opposed to that way. And that's how we progress on. We do something hard.
Right.
And that we're afraid of. And then we move past it, and it gives us strength and more stamina to move on. But we're not willing, is what you're saying. Is what Stephen is saying too, that we're not willing to deal with all the mess in between. We want people to go from darkness to being perfected and good and behaving in that manner 100% of the time.
Yeah. Or we have an expectation that they're further along than me, so they should be better than what I know that I am deep down. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying, you know, again, I think we should have higher expectations for our pastors and for leaders of the church. There's nothing wrong with that. Maybe they should be further down the journey than I am, or that, you know, a person is that or is just new to the faith or new to that church or whatever. Sure, there's nothing wrong with that expectation. But I do think, as we were chatting, there is a baseline of expectation, and anything outside of that baseline is basically personality and gifted driven.
Yeah, this blew me away when you were asking me this question. You know, what's your expectation? What do you think a pastor, because I was asking about, well, then what's the baseline?
Right.
If I can't be offended, if I can't, you know, have an expectation, if I can't feel like I have a desire, what I need in my pastor, you know, well, then what's the baseline? What's the minimum that I should be able to expect from my pastor to be okay?
Yeah.
And you said three things and it really pissed me off, man.
Yeah. So, and again, go back to Acts where I think this is where it's based in. There's three expectations that you should have of every single pastor. And this is the baseline. Set direction of the church, meaning that every church is a different expression of who God is. That's why it's diverse. Bible talks about this. One church could be a hand. One church could be a foot. One church could be an eye. One church, whatever. Collectively, we're the body. And that's why there's so many different churches and so many different directions that a church is doing. So the pastor is responsible to set that direction. And I know there are churches that have a different set of values. Like there's churches that have a diversity value. There's churches that have a outreach value, different expressions of who God is, right? So that's the pastor's job to set the direction of that church. Secondly, he's to pray. Pray for his flock, for God to give him direction. God give him wisdom to lead that church. But I'm to pray as a pastor. And then a pastor is supposed to preach the word. That's the three. That is the baseline. According to scripture, I think what made you upset a little bit, visibly upset, was that you all of us bring in expectations to church based on how we grew up.
Yeah.
Right. So me personally growing up, the pastor in our church did everything. That man did all the weddings, all the funerals. He did all the counseling. He did the preaching. It was like, I'm surprised that he lived to be he's still living. And I'm shocked because we worked him to death.
Yeah.
But it boiled down to that's what he loved doing. That was his personality. And he loved going to the hospital and praying for people. It brought him life.
But to have that expectation is where the problem comes in, because I expect, since this pastor was this way in my, you know, growing up.
And he impacted my life in a positive way.
Yeah, the way it impacted me. I expect every pastor to do this. And if I find that a pastor is not going to a hospital or not doing this or that, then I feel like he's out of the will of God. And then I'm suspect of what's going on. So that was, that man, three things, three expectations for a pastor. And anything outside of that, you didn't say this, but in a sense is unfair to have that expectation.
It is unfair. Mm. It is unfair to bring in the things as a child, or even let's say as an adult, you go to a church for the first time ever, and that's your experience. Those are expectations. Let's say you move, that you're going to take to a new church and go, well, my pastor was like this, you know, in my former church, and I expect this pastor to be the same way. Mm. And that's a selfish, boyish, immature way to think. And you and I both know people that used to drive me crazy when they go, well, my church in
California,
my church in New York, my church in, you know, we did this, and why don't y'all do this? It used to drive me nuts. Yeah. It's like, man, that is so immature and so unfair that you're bringing that expectation in on us, because we have a different version, a different way of expressing. We have a different direction than your church did in New York, California, Vermont, Florida, wherever you came from, right? And that's the immature part that we bring into a new situation or a new church.
You know, and being like a quasi in leadership and quasi responsible for encouraging, and I found a way to short circuit those comments, because even, you know, just being a layperson and serving at a church, you still hear those same complaints. And I really felt like that God put something on my heart to respond to those things is, when we feel strongly about something that's missing in our current church, a lot of times that's a urging for us to attend to it and start to do it.
Correct.
And I started challenging men that said, hey, you know, I think that we need to be, as a church, we need to be reaching out more to young people. I go, okay, you're deputized. What's your plan to do it?
Yeah.
Do you have one young guy that you're reaching out to? Well, no. You know, I come to church and I pay my tithes, and I'm just saying the church in general.
You guys need to do that.
Yeah. And so that's one way to short circuit it, but it's also one way to challenge people into doing things that need to be done for the kingdom of God.
To mature in their journey.
To mature. And there's you know, a guy, nobody ever speaks to anybody when they come to breakfast. Okay, well then you are now in charge of making sure that every guy is spoken to.
Yeah.
And these kinds of moments, man, but just the case with, you know, this church doesn't attend to the young men and they need to have some kind of program to reach out to young men. And I challenged the guy, well, maybe that's a thing that you can do. And he actually told me, you know, I just come here to pay my tithes, but I'm telling you something that I see missing.
Yeah.
So he wasn't interested in being a part of the solution. He just wanted to be offended about the fact that we didn't do it.
Correct.
But yeah, this whole church hurt thing, man, just it's an incredible statement to make, man, that, you know, it's a cancer, the cancer of church hurt, because it does. It's insidious, man, and it starts small, but it affects your opinion of not only your leadership, but those that support him, and then foundationally the members of the church, and yeah, then the groups that you're in. It infects everything, man.
Actually, you know, just think about that. You know, the term cancer is something internally inside of you that doesn't really affect or hurt somebody else in a sense. It's really just eating you. And that's where I think that Stephen was, the direction was, no, this is about your growth. I mean, think about, there's only a few places that you can go to grow spiritually mature in a collective, and that is church. So when you get offended at church, that's actually your opportunity to grow.
Mm-hmm.
If you have the proper mindset, it's like going to a gym and never lifting enough weight to grow a muscle. Well, you're just wasting your time. You have to go to fatigue, or you have to lift heavier weight than what you're capable of in order to grow stronger. You have to do that. But yet somehow at church, it's like that spiritual muscle, no, we don't like, I want to keep that weak. I don't want that to be stretched. I don't want that to be fatigued. I don't want that. I don't want to lift heavier weight than I should.
I don't want it to be challenged.
Yeah. I don't want to do any of that. Well, then you're going to stay a spiritual adolescent. It's just the bottom line. You're going to stay immature.
What percentage of church hurt do you feel like is directly related to a situation with the pastor?
Oh, I think
it's pastor's wife.
Yeah. I think it's probably what? 75%, probably the pastor. Look, I've had people come to me angry when I was on staff, angry, mad that the pastor didn't look at them while they walked by and didn't say hi.
Yeah.
I'm like, really? Of course, I know a lot more information, right? With my position. Yeah. He just found out his dad passed. That was a real situation.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, well, I didn't know. I know, because you're so adolescent, you think it's all about you. So yeah, that changed the story all of us. And that's why I'm saying there's so many backstories to things that go on. But immaturity says it's all about me instead of giving the benefit of the doubt. Well, you know, man, if his job is set direction, preach and pray,
wow,
maybe he was thinking about a sermon and he was about to go on stage and he was working through some things in his mind to make sure he got this right.
And he missed me.
Yeah, and he didn't look at me, or he didn't say hi to me, or he, well, that's an expectation that you brought in, that you've placed on a man, by the way, a mere man that's happens to be called to be a pastor. That's a wrong expectation. Now, it's okay to go, man, I wish he would have said hi to me, or okay, great, but he didn't, and there's a reason for it. It has nothing to do with what you did last night, by the way.
What about this? So I've been paying my tithes for 10 years, and my expectation is to be recognized. Man, I put good money into this church. I want to be recognized and acknowledged by the pastor when he walks by. And you mentioned a guy that you know personally that somehow was sick and didn't show up at church, and he was offended that the pastor, the head pastor, never called him.
Yeah, but he had two or three guys call him.
But he had guys that was in his immediate circle of influence that called and checked in on him and brought him food and did all these other things. But what he was implying is that's not the lead pastor.
Right.
That's just the people that I know. I'm talking about that guy. And that guy doesn't necessarily have to do all those hands-on things because he's got other layers around him.
Yeah, he's got other people doing that stuff for sure. And we're talking at a church of thousands.
Yeah.
So again, that comes back down to the wrong expectation coming into that church. Maybe he was at a smaller church or maybe he was in leadership at the church that the pastor always recognized him and they had a relationship. And so he brings that expectation into a new church and goes, well, I want that, you know, from my senior pastor, because a senior pastor should be doing this. And look, I told you, I know pastors that don't like stepping into a hospital at all. Now they'll do it because, you know, that they do feel the pressure of, well, I should do this, but it's not their gifting and it's not even their personality, because they would rather be, they're introverts. They'd rather be stuck in their office, searching scripture, working on their sermon for the next Sunday.
Or sitting quietly in a corner contemplating their own life.
Yeah, that's where they get life. So that's what I'm saying. That's why you asked me the baseline. Those three things are the baseline.
So as we move on, say those three things again, and then expectations outside of these, we really need to examine them, especially if they caused us to draw back and be hurt by the church and not want to attend. Yeah, what are those three expectations?
Set direction of the church, pray, and preach the word. Mm. I mean, that is the as baseline as it gets for a pastor. Wow. And if you're a pastor and you're listening to this, you can send a donation to Great Man. Just go to the website. It's at the top corner.
Yeah, for peeling off all that other stuff that people are expecting.
I'm just helping you right now. Yeah. So go ahead.
There are two things I'm thinking about that are pretty prevalent in my generation when it comes to church hurt. Two main topics that I wanted to ask you guys about. One was, I know people who are atheists now who blame their loss of faith on something that happened to them in church.
Sure.
I was wondering if you could dig into that first.
Yeah, I can't, because I don't know the circumstances, because there is legitimate church hurt. And I'm not going to blast somebody because they lost their faith, because it could be legitimate. I mean, there have been.
Whoa, the hurt can be legitimate. But losing your faith as a result of the hurt, then that opens up a whole nother dynamic. If we are focused on who the leader actually is, Jesus, and realizing that people are going to do things to hurt us like our moms and dads do, but we're not necessarily against family. We're just against this thing that dad did. I mean, so we have to call some distinction here, man, because simply because a pastor doesn't do something or somebody doesn't do something, does that, you know, legitimize me losing my faith, quote unquote?
Well, again, my belief and the way that I think is everybody's on a spiritual journey. So I'm not judging somebody where they're at today, right? If somebody loses their faith over a hurt, here's what I mean. It's legitimate that if a father does something to his kids, you know, that is, let's say it's just terrible. Let's say that he sexually molests his kids. That's a legitimate reason for you to not like your father and to stay away and for those kids to be taken away, right? That's legitimate. That's what I'm saying. There is legitimate hurts in the church that I could see where somebody would go, if that's the representation of God, then I don't want anything to do with him. Good. It's been in the news. I mean, how many leaders in a church have molested kids or done something that's, you know, that's just outrageous, right? I can give legitimacy to somebody going, yeah, I'm not going to be a part of the church. However, what we're talking about is not those kind of things. It's the small things, the little things that cause us to go, well, if that, you know, If a pastor not talking to me is representation of God, then I'm not going to that church. That is immature.
Jonas, ask that question again, because I don't think that we directly addressed it. Say it again.
Just what do you think when you hear about people who lose their faith because of an experience in church? Now, yes, you're right. That is a wide range of circumstances that could have led up to that. But we should talk about them. We should talk about everything as small as the head pastor wouldn't acknowledge me when we walked by in the hallway, up to I was abused by leadership. Like, that full range, people can feel justified in their feelings toward the church. But what do you say? Or what do you think about when you think about those situations? People who lose their faith because of an experience at church.
Again, it is a wide range. I would say for the most part that that has more to do with obviously them than it does the church. Church is an equal opportunity offender. There's no doubt about it. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're on staff. It doesn't matter if you're, you know, just somebody that comes every Sunday. There is going to be major opportunities for you to be offended. I mean, the pastor could say something from the pulpit and it's the first time you're there and you could be offended, right? I mean, there's so many opportunities to be offended at church, by a church or by leadership.
Yeah. I guess I would ask some questions to dig deeper because, you know, do you find that it's a pattern in your life when someone disappoints you or doesn't meet a particular expectation or does something that you don't agree with, do you always walk away from those situations? Within your marriage, if your wife chooses herself over you, do you walk away from that situation? When your child does something that is more focused on what they need or what their preference is, do you walk away from that? Do you have friendships where your friends, you know, in a moment that you needed them, didn't show up in that situation? Do you necessarily walk away from them? At your job, when your job does something that doesn't necessarily benefit you or attend to you, do you walk away from it? Because I think that that would be a pattern. And I think that it is a pattern in a lot of people's lives, man, that when once we find that one offense, it's our permission to walk away. So maybe we were never actually tied in, because I remember being young and having lived the life that I lived and been around the people that I lived and having been hurt and disappointed and felt like I was done wrong a lot. I would give, growing up and well into my 30s, man, I would give a relationship one mistake. Mm. As long as we were, you know, doing the same things and supporting each other or, you know, committing the same crimes, whatever it was, I would give it one chance. And when you showed me that one opportunity where you didn't do what I thought you should do, I had this expectation of what a friend would do, then you were automatically cut off. And that was with women in my life. That was with friendships in my life. That was in business associates in my life. You got one opportunity to do something that I felt like was not conducive to our relationship, and I just cut it off. And looking back at that, man, I know that I cut off a lot of relationships and a lot of partnerships way too soon because I was in advance trying to protect myself from being hurt. So I think that that would be one thing that we need to all do when people are expressing these church hurt or losing their faith because of something that happened in church, is to ask, is it a pattern in your life? Do you behave this way? Do you have the same expectation in all the relationships in your life? And maybe that would help them understand this expectation that they have for the church or for their pastors or something like that. Maybe it's not the best expectation to have. I don't know. But to answer your question, man, that's a great question. And how have you answered those people when they've said something to you like that?
Mm.
Or did you just listen and acknowledge it? Or
I think I've tried to meet it with curiosity, like kind of like you're talking about. I've not really thought about it from that angle before, and I think mm-hmm. that makes a lot of sense to me. But I think I look at church now after, you know, having attended several different churches and several different, drastically different types of churches in my life. I come to each one now that I enter and think, yeah, just another room full of people. Like,
yeah,
we're all gonna do things each other doesn't like, and we're all gonna try our best, and we're all gonna let each other down. And I'm just gonna see what happens when I lean into this and give myself over to it and trust that I'm where I need to be right now.
Yeah. So another mindset to answer your question too is, and this is scriptural, how do I want to be treated when I offend somebody?
Mm. Yeah, that's good.
Because if I feel like I don't offend somebody, well, then
that's now, offensive.
Now I got to deal with pride. Like, you know, like I'm the only one on the planet that doesn't offend somebody, because we can offend inadvertently. I mean, there's people that have come to me that I've deeply offended that I had no idea that I offended
them. You're just whistling on out.
Yeah, I'm just, because, you know, look, I public speak a lot. I teach a lot. I do a lot of things that come out. We do this podcast. I'm sure I've offended somebody today.
Yeah.
But they've come to me and go, you've offended me. And my heart is not to offend. That's not why I say the things that I say. I'm not
You see them because you believe them.
But thank God they came to me and give me the opportunity to clean that up mm-hmm. and for them to hear. So if you're offended at church, okay, what would you want somebody to do? How would you want somebody to handle you when you offended them? Okay, do that. Do that very thing to the person that offended you. That would solve 90% of the issue.
So you're asking me to mature, come outside of my own hurt, examine it in somebody else, ask follow-up questions as to why they did it or why they're behaving. You're asking a lot of me now.
Of course.
When it's easier for me just to get offended and to walk away.
Why? Because as men, that's a very boyish way. It's easy just to pick up my toys and go to another sandbox. I don't have to deal with all the emotion, all the hurt. I'll just pick up it. So I'll just, again, we've traded sandboxes for churches.
Well, Jonas, I guess we need to kind of look at what Stephen was saying is we can't expect church to meet every need, which right. is a big thing for me too. You know, expecting to be able to gain or receive everything that completes our life from the church.
Yeah.
And man, I don't know. That's a big one. And I know that it's big in this generation, man, because everyone needs an explanation when you go, hey, do you go to church? I mean, man, 9 times out of 10, it's going to get tracked back to something that somebody in the church did or said or an opinion that they had, the reason why I'm not affiliated at all.
Yeah,
sure.
And is that because it's easy or is that the truth? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe some mixture of both. The other pressing thing that I was thinking about generationally, and honestly, I don't think it's just my generation. I think it's just where we are in time is, can I just do church online? Can I just, you know, I listen to pastors when I'm, you know, cooking dinner. I put a podcast on when I'm driving to work. I get all the teaching and spiritual help I need from these trusted people online. Why do I actually need to go somewhere to get something from people? I'd rather just not deal with people.
Well, it's safe, isn't it?
Sure is. Sure sounds safe.
Just a safe place to stay because then I don't have to relationally deal with anybody.
Right.
And again, part of church is the opportunities to be offended so that I can work something out in me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and there's a guy in our past, JT, and we laugh and talk about him all the time, but this guy was, you know, completely self-absorbed. He was always talking about himself, going on about his own accolades, but he said something years and years ago that I didn't quite grasp when he said it, but I do now. And I 100% agree with it. I remember he told me one time, he said, man, I don't go to church to get fed. I don't go to church, you know, to get perfected. I go because I go to serve other people, to be available to other people. And, you know, when I heard that, I was like, man, that's really weird. But years later, and having understood the dynamics of attending church, a lot of times I don't necessarily go to church hoping to feed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I go in and if I'm fed or if I get something that I can bite on and chew on, or there's times that I go in and I'm 100% overwhelmed with information and get satisfied. But it's along a long spectrum of possibilities when I go to church. But one thing that's always consistent when I go to church is that I can attend to the body of people around me. I can be available to people. I can speak encouragement to people. I can share my faith. I can share the wisdom of the Bible with people. Attend to those around me, speaking to those people around me, just doing the fellowship of church rather than going and hoping to receive my meal and walk out the door. And it changed the perspective for me a lot because I don't often go to church going, man, I gotta hear from you today. And, you know, if it's not today, I'm going to walk away. I go in with an open heart and go, how can I serve? How can I be available with the people around me? And oftentimes I'll get fed and filled. Sometimes I'll get a nibble. Sometimes I'll just hear things that I already understand with no new insight. But I think that we have to walk into church, like Stephen says, man, willing to go. It's a place that we go to serve and to be around like-minded people going towards one goal.
Yeah, here's the balance. Let me just, again, because this subject comes up, it used to come up all the time when I was on staff. You know, I don't come to church to get fed, or I'm not getting fed here. You know, that was such a an interesting term.
Yeah.
But there is a balance.
Sure.
And what you were saying reminded me of what my friend Ryan Mickler said when he defined boys and men. Boys consume, men produce, but men still have to consume.
They do.
So it's like, for me, the picture of a church is we're sitting at a table and we're all feasting and we're all eating. Now, I may get up and serve people, right? I may get up and, you know, fill your glass, or you're great at this. You know, we're at a breakfast. You'll get up and take people's plates or whatever, but you still ate.
Right.
And so that's the balance. Yes, I need to have a mindset of I am going to church to get fed. No doubt about it. And it may be, you know, one thing I've had so many times that the sermon was kind of blah, blah, whatever. And man, he says one thing, it completely changes the way that I think about something.
Yeah.
Man, I just got fed. That spiritually just fed me. But yet I still got up and ushered or did whatever I do, you know, it's both. And it does have to be a balance of both. It can't be one-sided. I can't go to church and just consume. And I can't go to church and just produce and serve, because then I'm growing a little bit, but man, I need to hear that word, just because that's what brings community together, that we're hearing the same thing, right?
That's
becoming like-minded. We're hearing the same, because again, going back to the baseline, what's a pastor supposed to do? That direction, pray, preach. So whatever he's preaching, he's heard because he's prayed. And I have to believe that. And we're all hearing the same thing and growing together. So we're all feeding at the same table. Yes, I may get up and serve and do things, and that's important too. But that's the balance of, just consuming. I'm going to go to church and consume. We've had people leave, man. It's like, you know, I'm just not getting fed here. I'm like, well, what kind of meal do you want? It's like, what are you, vegetarian, and we're serving meat, or what's going on? So again, that's just another opportunity for people to be offended.
Yeah. Jonas, so we didn't attend to your question, did we?
You touched on it, like just how safe it feels if I'm just going to get all the spiritual teaching I need on my own time, and I'm going to do it all from the comfort of my own car, my own living room.
Why can't I be encouraged and taught and spiritually led online rather than going into the building? And I would simply say there's a relationship that you can have online. You can meet somebody online and date somebody online, but ultimately you want to spend face time with that person one-on-one. And I believe that there's a place, man, for online church and all that, and it's convenient, and there's times that you can't make it that you might be able to listen. But ultimately, I don't think that there's anything that can replace us going and meeting together.
Man, it's like this. Let me give you this analogy. How many football games have you watched on TV?
Thousands.
Yeah. I mean, just crazy. We watch. Have you ever been on the sideline of a football game?
I've not.
It completely changes the game for you. I remember sitting on the sideline of an NFL game with Coach, and it was like my first time ever on the sideline, and it changed the whole game for me, because I could hear, I could sense, I was listening to conversations over here, the strategy that we don't get on TV. There are so many things going on a sideline that you don't get on TV that makes the game make more sense, and why people are doing something. We sit back and go, why did that quarterback do that? He should have done that. And then you get on a sideline and you're hearing why he did it.
Are you able to hear the impact of these two 250-pound guys hit each other?
Absolutely.
And you realize that there's a 250-pound guy running at this quarterback, and in a split second, he's got to make decisions.
Yeah.
But I remember that was one of the things that you told me after you were on the sideline, man, to hear the impact of these men, it gives you a different perspective.
So I can't experience that unless I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
And there are certain things that you are not going to experience if you're not in that building with other people.
Yeah.
And you are robbing yourself. You're robbing yourself of opportunities to feel, to see those things, to feel the presence of things. And I'm not just talking about feeling the presence of God. I mean, yes, of course, but the presence of people. There's something about being amongst people that are, if you sing in your church, that you're singing together, that you're, you know, you're hearing the same thing, you're feeling the emotion of the room. I mean, you cannot imitate those things any other way except for being in that building. And so, I mean, this is a pastor's heart, and me going, I want everybody to feel that. You know, I don't want you to be, it's so easy to be isolated and watch online. I mean, that's just, we fight against isolation. Yeah, solitude, great. You know, have times of solitude, but don't isolate yourself. And if you think that you're going to grow in maturity without people, then you're lying to yourself.
And Jonas, I guess in response or what I might say in that situation is, you know, consuming is great. And when we listen and hear podcasts or attend church online, we're basically 100% consuming.
Yeah.
But we're not producing. We're not giving. We're not, you know, learning in that sense what to do with ourselves once we get this information. And I think that there's a place for consuming.
Sure.
But a lot of times, man, it's so much, maybe 10% is the meal that you consume and 90% is what you produce as a result of having heard it.
Yeah.
And I don't know, but I'm a big fan of online church and listening to podcasts, but I don't think that it can rightly replace attending a church building.
Scripture says what? It's better to give than to receive. If I give something, I had to produce something in order to give something.
Yeah.
Right? If I receive something, it's just I'm getting something that somebody else produced.
Man, I'm glad Jonas is here today to give us these questions to get off on these things, look, because it's important, man.
It is. So let's land this plane and give some a little bit of things to think about.
Before we land the plane.
I mean, this is, what is he, a stewardess?
I hate to be disobedient, but we have to address one of the last reasons. And it's strategic, I know, on Stephen's part, but he always marches everything he does back to a central point. Mm-hmm. And he said, sometimes we get offended by church. Men get offended by church is because it's over feminized or it's talking about, you know, the identifying angels. It's not attending to the things that we need as men.
Yeah.
And he says the way around that is to stop expecting church to attend to those things. How do you get those things that pertain to being a man attended to in your life?
Mm-hmm.
What's he say? You have to have that band of brothers.
Yeah.
And everything he teaches, man, he has the ability to march it back to that central point, because without each other, without a man around us, without sitting down and chopping it up or getting, you know, corrected or encouraged, or you gave a great example of it. You said watching the film.
Yeah.
Without sitting down next to the guy, you know, and watching the film of your life or the way that you behave with somebody else and going, man, that's great right there. But that was stupid. Why would you do that? And the defense is doing this and you left this opportunity open for them to score, you know, without someone to sit there and kind of decipher the film with you. You never understand the points where you're low in.
Yeah.
So we're expecting to get that thing attended to in church when we should be expecting to have that attended to by our band of brothers.
Yeah, we need both.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, again, the reason why athletes sit and watch their mistakes on film is because they want to win. I mean, so it's almost like, please tell me my mistakes.
Right. So I don't do that again.
So I don't do that again because I want to improve. And again, that's self-improvement, self-development. It has nothing to do with character, by the way. Right. I could be a jerk and be a great player. But it's like, yeah, we got to have those opportunities where I sit with another guy and it's like, man, if you see something in me, please tell me.
Yeah.
Don't let me be on the road of not winning. That's a great question. I mean, if we want to win in life as men, then you got to put yourself in positions that you can be examined. Church is one of those things. And really, number one, you know, if you want to get over church hurt or if you have been church hurt, I mean, examine what happened. Like it's a film. I mean, look at it and go, did I really? Because here's what human nature, we do this. We rewrite history to justify an action. So if I want to leave a church, I can rewrite the history a little bit. And the more you tell yourself, the more that becomes your reality. And nobody can tell you any other. They can't talk. They can't say, well, what about this? No, this is exactly what happened. So you really have to examine it like it's a play by play. Really, did the pastor do that? Or were you in a bad mood that day and he didn't do something you expected and it just turned into a hurt? Like a simple thing. And again, we're not talking about legitimate stuff, but it's like, man, did I need to sit down and examine that play by play. It's hard to do and be truthful with yourself. Is that really what happened? Or am I blowing it up because I'm mad at something else?
Yeah.
There's an underlying thing that I'm really hurt, but I'm going to use this as my excuse. You know, you got to examine that. Two, you got to really get your expectations of what church is in place. And again, we talked about this earlier. You know, what is my expectation? And what's my expectation of the pastor and leadership? And is that even right? or am I bringing in my own stuff again because I was impacted to the positive as a kid? I went to church with my family and I loved that pastor, or I was impacted negatively. And so now I'm bringing that negative in. And this pastor has got to be different than the pastor that I grew up with. I mean, it's both, but you have to set, I think you have, and Stephen said this, get your expectations in place. Church is not going to be everything that you need.
It's like a lot of men look at the church the same way that they look at their marriages and their wives. They expect for every single area of their life to be attended to, maintained, and encouraged in their wife.
Yeah.
And it's just never going to happen. 100% of what you need and 100% of things that you need attended to in your life is never going to happen from your wife. And to expect it is putting your wife in a really horrible situation because she can never meet that.
Yeah.
Because you have to have some other areas of life to pull from. And I guess in a lot of ways, we treat the church the same way. We look at the church and go, you need to be able to attend to me in 100% of these areas. And it's just never going to happen.
It's never going to happen. And I will say this, and this is, again, I'm going to say it. Don't be like Anthony and just text me back quickly with some dumb thing that he just came up with while he was at work.
This is the number one reason why men don't reciprocate and answer these questions, because they get shamed for it.
But, you know, you did it to yourself.
Whatever.
But you really have to think about this. Every step away from God, every step away from the church is an emotional decision. Every one of them. God didn't do. Preacher didn't do. Somebody didn't do. What I think they should do. Kanye, you brought up Kanye. What a boyish. I hope he's listening. You're a boy. You have a mindset, an adolescent mindset. And you say that, you know, well, that's an emotional, because God didn't do something that I thought he should have done. He didn't save me from this. He didn't heal my dad and he died. My son, I mean, there
he say prayed for his children to be able to be back in his life, and that didn't happen. You know, yeah. Pray for all these things.
Yeah. It just didn't happen yet. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I have, again, everybody's on a journey. That's why you can't judge somebody where they're at. Even with somebody deconstructing their faith, it's like, yeah, they may go through the process of that and don't go to church and be mad at God. But look, God can take all that. Trust me, God is not offended by your offense.
So the three things to march us back towards the church.
A couple things. Examine your hurt. Truly examine it. Like a player looking at the film, play by play. Look at it really. Film don't lie, right?
And do it with someone else, possibly.
Yeah, do it with a band, one of your brothers. I mean, just sit down and go, man, I really need to think through this and examine it really. Because this is a hurt. It's like a splinter working itself out. You know, it'll, I don't know if you've ever had a splinter. You don't really work with your hands very much. But, you know, no, but it's like some hurts, like a splinter working out, man. I forgot even how I got that splinter, but now it's working itself out and I can kind of feel the pain a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like even those things that we just kind of forget while we're even offended, or we have changed the story. So sit down with the band of brothers, sit down with another man and go, I just really need to examine this for real, and be honest. And then, secondly, check your expectations of, are you putting unfair expectations on what you feel church or leadership or your pastor or the people in the church should be? Are your expectations in check? Are they realistic? It's funny. People have expectations on other people that they don't put on their own self. And I know that, you know, again, the thing I hear all the time, well, church is just full of a bunch of hypocrites. You know, that's why I don't want to go. Well, you're a hypocrite. Nobody lives by everything they say. I mean, because again, we're on a journey that's very challenging. Life is a challenging journey. And none of us are completely 100% truthful or honest, even with ourselves. So, you know, we have to get those expectations in place. And if there's a third, I would say just think well of people. Think the good in somebody and don't place an offense because you don't know the whole story.
You make the offense bigger than all the good things that this person has done or all the good behavior that's happening. You place one offense and let it
fester
and become bigger than all the good that they do.
Yeah. It's like, man, just again, you can't, we can't do that because we don't want it done to us. I could honestly talk about this for hours because, again, just being involved in church for so long, you know, I kind of see both sides, you know, because, look, I used to say to people when they say they're offended, it's like, look, every single pastor at this church has offended me. I mean, you're talking, I think I'm the most offended person in this church, right?
Well, and if we had a number four, I would say just consider grace.
Yeah.
Because if we have an expectation for people to behave better, we need to understand that we have an expectation for ourselves to behave better. And in those times that we don't want to be judged by the times we missed it. And you don't want to necessarily judge everyone else by the times that they missed it, unless it's a continuous pattern. And so just extend the same grace that you're hoping to receive. Have the same patience that you're hoping to receive. Have the same amount of forgiveness that you're hoping to receive, because it'll help us deal and have a different sense towards people if we understand that people are struggling in the same ways that we struggle.
Yeah, listen, church hurt is real. We're not devaluing that. It's real. But as men, we have to have a maturing mindset that we want to grow. Church is one of those areas, one of the only areas that we can spiritually grow because we're around people. Because having that mindset of maturity in this area is a part of being a great man.
To join the Great Man community or to book Stephen, Anthony, or JT to speak at your man's event, go to greatman.tv. There, you'll also find incredible resources to help you become the great man you are made to be. The Great Man Podcast is a Wise Company production.